Welcome to the first podcast on college life versus uni life. We're going to be discussing that in depth today. So I'm Bethan, I'm studying film and media, and I'm about to go into my fourth year at QMU.
Hi, and I'm Christy. I'm studying public sociology, and I'm just going into level three.
Great. So I think we'll start by chatting a bit about self-directed study, which can be definitely a big difference in college versus university. In college, a lot of it is still very teacher-driven, very class-driven, whereas in university, I think we found that there's a lot more self-directed study involved.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I was a direct entrant from college into the second level two of the programme I'm on. And that was definitely the most noticeable difference. At college, you know, you turn up for the hours that you're meant to be there. You probably do a little bit of reading at home or a little bit extra, but it's mostly all given to you, you know, in that classroom setting. And I suppose that's the other thing, the big difference about self-directed study is things were always given to me in college, you know, so I'd always had printouts and things handed, whereas, you know, with the university, it's much more, here's maybe a list of things, you have to go away and find it yourself, so.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of it is, we do still get handed materials at university, but a lot of it is, here it is, go find it by yourself, here's just either a link or a reference to it. But still go find it yourself, go read it in your own time, find your own interpretations, whereas college is a bit more kind of guided in that sense. You still get materials to read on your own, but you may get the lecturer's input or a bit more in-depth reason as to why you're studying that, whereas a lot of research in uni is going away and finding it yourself. You may have some materials to go off of, but there may not be as much depending on the assignment that you're doing.
Yeah, and that, you know, maybe sounds a little not scary or challenging, but the good thing about it is that you can choose the whatever from the list that appeals to you the most. You know, like we're at university, we're not, you know, there's obviously a curriculum that we're following, but you get to sort of pick and choose a little bit and follow your own interests a little bit more. And I think obviously that's one of the really enjoyable things about being at uni is following what you find interesting personally. So yeah, that's something I really enjoyed. And I would say
I think you get used to it really quickly as well.
Absolutely. No, I know, I agree with it. Like, and you, even though it feels different at first, everything's set up to help you succeed at uni. You know, all the resources are there, all the lecturers are there. You know, there's lots of support in lots of different ways. So as long as you just sort of try and get engaged, then, you know, I think it can work well. But yeah, I was gonna say as well something about the sort of self-directed study in terms of being different from your college and uni experiences is timetable as well, is that, you know, college, you're attending class, you know, however many days a week, you know, usually, you know, number of hours. Uni, you first of all look at your timetable and you're like, oh my god, there's like 6 hours in a week I have to do something. Yeah. That seems like nothing, you know, I've got all this free time, but it's all about I guess being kind of maybe disciplined in yourself and being like, no, I need to actually sit down and read all these things, and I need to accept that there's going to be a number of hours a week per module. It's not just what appears on my timetable.
Yeah, I think that was one of the stranger things to me coming into uni was people that were older than me or had been at uni for longer talking about how little free time they had. And I always found that confusing, because when I first got my timetable, when I first started, I was like, I'm only in class like four times a week. I don't understand how these people have no free time. But once you actually get into the meat of your year and the meat of your course, it's very different, I think. And then you realize just how little free time you have, because a lot of it is spent at home studying or maybe doing extracurricular things or maybe working as well, and all that kind of builds up. So it may seem overwhelming, but having, again, as you said, a kind of timetable and pacing yourself, that definitely helps a lot, I think.
I think you're right as well, that thing about particularly when you first start the semester, it feels like there's not much happening. I think I arrived and you're all excited and you're like, you know, I'm gonna give it my all, and then it feels like there's not very much going on at first. And I think actually what reflecting on the start of when I first started was, I think I wish I'd maybe spent that time looking more at, like, for example, exploring the handbook, like class handbook, and just sort of doing a couple of readings. I think at first you're kind of unsure because you're like, well, I don't know what any of this is. I don't know where it relates to. But looking back now, I think if I'd maybe picked one or two readings out, just, you know, just for the sake of it, I mean, you never know, by the time it comes to the tutorial, you're like one step ahead because you've already read the thing, you know, that gets set by the lecturer or the teacher or whatever. So yeah, that's maybe a wee tip for people to check out.
Yeah, definitely. I think pre-study before you go into your course or at the very start of the year at least is definitely a good way to get started and not get overwhelmed when things start getting a bit more chaotic, because it does ramp up very quickly. As you said, like at the start, you may be feeling like there's nothing going on, but within about 2-3 weeks, and when assignments start creeping up, it definitely feels a lot more, and it can be a bit daunting. But I think, as you said, just getting a bit studying early or getting to kind of know the campus a bit is probably your best bet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I suppose what we're just talking about there kind of leads into what we were thinking of talking about next, which is regarding finding resources. Mm-hmm. I suppose we kind of mentioned a wee bit, you know, we chatted a wee bit about that already, that obviously college things is not, you know, you've not had information spoon-fed to you, but it is a bit more direct. It's a bit more just like, as you say, often handed, or, you know, sometimes even nicely printed out for you. Whereas university, you're more likely to get a list, which often, you know, lists will appear in, like, you know, your handbook, which I found quite handy for some modules just to keep myself look at what I could be looking up. But yeah, what was your experiences when you first had to deal with finding resources? Or
yeah, especially at QMU, I think there's a lot of it's again overwhelming. I think there's a lot, it's kind of got a bit better recently, I think, but at the start there was lots of different websites, there was lots of different resources that QMU use. There's your portal, there's the hub, and there's the student union website, places like that. So it can be a bit confusing where to go, and there's also the library website too. But in terms of resources, your main things you're looking for are the hub, TALIS, the library in general, both on campus and online. And Google Scholar is another good resource as well. I think those are the best ones for looking for references for your assignments. But I think the hub is your main place, because you've got both your reading materials on there, recommendations from lecturers, and you'll also have announcements as well from lecturers. So about classes that are happening, or maybe they'll sometimes give announcements for opportunities to get involved in, or other resources that they may have found in the middle of the semester as well. So the hub's definitely your main one to think to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I agree, absolutely. And certainly I found with the hub, click around on everything, because yes, certainly when I first started, I went under the assumption that, like, lecturers, you know, people would put everything in the same place in the hub. So say, you know, there's a number of tabs along the side. And what I fell into the trap of was just assuming, you know, I didn't need to look at a few of them, but actually, you know, different departments do things differently. So having a good click around, I think some of my modules had good, like, me discussion boards as part of the hub. So
yeah, some classes do that as well. And sometimes it's a requirement for the course as well. So if you need to use discussion boards, I would use them.
And it feels a little bit, you know, like all of these things, you know, you put yourself out there, you feel a wee bit awkward, maybe the one doing the first message, but it was always super positive, and, you know, other students shared resources.
Everyone's there to learn and get their degree, so it may be a bit socially anxious at first, but I think once you get into it, everyone's just up for it. There's never really much negativity in that sense.
And you said something about TALIS lists. I think I've not used them hugely. What are they exactly? Do you know?
The TALIS reading list is basically what the lecturer gives you, as they basically put all of their reading lists onto TALIS. I think it's accessed through the library system as well. And it basically just combines all the materials from your course. So you can look for specific modules and you'll get all of the resources on there that the lecturers have recommended themselves, which is a great starting point for assignments and assessments.
I was going to say that for essays or whatever, that seems like, because yeah, I think one of my modules had some, and again it was going to be module specific, I think one of my modules had a TALIS list but the other ones didn't.
Yeah, that's another thing, it really depends on your lecturers. Different lecturers do different things, but I think if you're ever stuck on a module, just give the lecturer an email. They're usually available. Again, it obviously depends on the lecturer, but they will try and get back to you. And if you are struggling, if you're stuck, if you can't find a resource or something, give them an email, because most likely they'll have an answer, or at least they can direct you to someone who can help a bit further.
Yeah, totally. Anyone that I've interacted with at the uni have all been so nice and understanding. Same. And helpful and stuff like that, that actually sometimes I wish I'd emailed sooner to just, you know, start these conversations sooner and stuff like that. So yeah, definitely just go for it.
just go through everything that's available on the hub on as soon as you can, and just have a look. You never know what you're going to find on there. And again, some lecturers will structure it differently. Some people have very clear structures and they go week by week, and some people will just throw stuff on there. So I think just getting used to the area is just the easiest way to find your resources quicker.
Definitely. And I think also as well, like on the hub, they'll always have the class handbook for each module. And I've definitely noticed some lecturers really expected you to read that, and you know, they quite often be like, the information's in the handbook, I'm not going to say it again, kind of thing. So I would, you know, in that first early time, as soon as you get access to it, have a look. It might have like a, you know, a breakdown, as you say, of what you're going to be studying and what weeks, or at least it'll have reading lists and a kind of overview of maybe what's like expected. Is maybe like, I think learning outcomes it might be called, which
sometimes I've had some lecturers that won't post the reading list elsewhere because it's on the handbook, and they'll just keep it on the handbook. So if you can't find it on the hub, most likely will be in the handbook or on TALIS.
Yeah, I get the impression that lecturers kind of definitely expect you to read the handbooks.
Definitely, yeah. At least have a skim and see what's on there. And then if there's more further reading to do, then you can do it from there.
Totally. No, I would agree that that's a really good one to do. And as well, I was thinking as well about reaching out to lecturers. I certainly found a few times, like with reading lists, sometimes links are broken and stuff like that. Like, so I don't know, sometimes they would actually provide a document of a reading list and it would be like a link to get to it. And there's a couple of times where it was like, oh, it's broken, it just doesn't exist anymore. But what I realized I actually need to do is like pull the title and author out of that wee link and search for that in the library separately, and then did find the resource. So I think it's maybe just be like being a bit creative, or, you know, not giving up at the first hurdle, which I think I can sometimes be guilty of.
If you are struggling with links that lecturers have sent, just have a quick Google first. Google it, try the library page, and then again, if it doesn't work, then get in contact with the lecturer.
That's cool. So was there anything else we were thinking about? We've spoken about finding resources and using the hub. I think the next thing we were thinking of talking about was just sort of generally getting involved with university life.
Yeah, very different from college. I think every college operates differently, and different courses can operate differently as well. But university has obviously a great reputation for social lives, maybe a bit more difficult in these times, obviously, but hopefully in this year, we're about to start getting back to some level of normalcy with that. Universities are obviously very well known for having sports and societies and events and many different ways to get involved socially, both on and offline at the moment as well. So definitely a big thing to get involved with at QMU is the student union. So definitely a good starting point is to maybe check out their website, sign up if there's anything to sign up for, and then have a look for the Give It A Go weeks, where the sports and societies will have taster sessions. And then if there's anything you're vaguely interested in, if you'd like to join one of these kind of groups, head along to one of those events, maybe speak to the committees in charge as well, if you want to know a bit more information, because chances are they're going to be looking for new members. They're going to be happy to help you out there. And then if you like the sessions, then you can sign up, and then that's you in a group for a year. And then you can come and go as you please for most societies as well.
Yeah, that sounds really good. So because I started under pandemic, and I didn't really engage hugely with the union. I don't know. I think I maybe felt a wee bit overwhelmed. I mean, I think also because the union's it's a separate entity from the university.
Yeah.
They've got an entirely separate website, which you definitely should check out. But I think it sounds great. There seems to be a lot of stuff going on, and it's something that I'm in a position that I'm looking to check out next, you know. So I think that sounds pretty interesting, taster weeks and that. I mean, certainly the other side of, you know, or another aspect of getting involved, I found, was reaching out with your class, you know, your cohort, your other module classmates, you know. So we used a lot of like WhatsApp groups and Facebook messaging groups and stuff like that, particularly under pandemic. Having these sort of like, you know, much more, a bit slightly more social, sort of more informal messaging, you know, functionalities was really good. It was really gave us like a little bit of you know, unity, and you know, you could have a wee bit of a chat of like, oh my god, I've got no idea what's going on, is anyone else totally freaking out and stuff. So I would recommend, you know, asking about, has anyone started a Facebook group, has anyone started a WhatsApp group. I actually think possibly part of the pals coming from college might be a Facebook page. Do you know anything about that, Bethan?
Yeah, I believe there's a Facebook page being made up by a couple of our PALS leaders that will be running the page. So it's definitely going to be student-led, it's going to be student accessible. So yeah, sign up to the page if you're wanting to know a bit more information, and I'll keep you up to date on, I believe, the kind of posts that we'll be making as well, and the opportunities available.
Yeah. So I mean, I'd hugely recommend that kind of stuff, especially, I suppose we don't know exactly what kind of COVID restrictions might still be on learning or might come in the winter. So I think it's worth getting involved, getting into all that kind of thing. But yeah, I suppose, just reflecting on the differences between college and university, I think university, I definitely feel it's much more my own. Like it's about my studies, it's about my where my interests lie, it's about my, and it's not to say that it's a sort of totally solitary independent thing. I mean that more as a kind of good thing. Like I, yeah, it makes me feel hugely engaged and quite excited for the next few years of study, actually. Like looking at modules they've got in later years and stuff, it can feel slightly scary in terms of difference. You feel like you don't know what's going on, but 1000%, I would say just reach out and ask people. Everyone at QMU has just been unbelievably helpful, well, just so helpful and kind and understanding, because it just genuinely seems that everyone's here because they want to learn or they want to be engaged in learning and teaching. So, yeah.
Benefits of a small campus as well is everything's very close together. There's not an overwhelming amount of lectures per course, so you'll tend to get to know at least most of them somewhat, and they'll make themselves available to you through email and through meetings if needed as well. So definitely, as we said, if you're struggling or if you need a bit of extra support, just reach out to people.
Absolutely. I think that's a fairly good note to end on. I hope everyone who's listened has enjoyed what we've chatted about for that, short period of time. And yeah, just to know to get in touch if you want any help, and please look forward to the other podcasts. There's lots of really interesting information to come. And thank you, Bethan, for that conversation. I've enjoyed chatting with you.
Enjoyed it as well.
Cool. Okay. Bye-bye.